Today we're going to continue our study, gleaning from the Word of God in regards to God's way in times of trouble. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 32, beginning I'm going to read 1 through 11. And as you know, David was a man that suffered much. Yes? He was also a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. David was famous for praising the Lord. And we know when praises go up, presence comes down. I'm in Psalms chapter 32, beginning. I'm going to read 1 through 11. Just let me know when you're there so that we're all on the same page together. Reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. In my iniquity, I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You, catch it, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will." Now, here's a promise, and I want you to hold on to this. You need to know that God is willing to instruct. But the Bible says, it talks about sin and how that puts a man in a position to where he is not losing his salvation, but he's broken relationship with God. Sin separates men from God. It crushes the relationship. And so in order to ensure help from the Lord, you must have a short account before God. So the prayer of forgiveness, as David is so famous for walking in time after time, in Psalms 51, is an example for us. David knew that God was merciful, and we too can go to him with all of our sin and all of our tribulation and trust that he's willing to forgive, and that there's a promise in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, which says that he who confesses his sin finds mercy. He who confesses his sin finds mercy. And so I'm saying, in order to reposition yourself to be in a place of blessing, to stand in a place of protection, sin has got to be dealt with. You cannot be head over heels in sin, acting as though everything's okay with God, when in reality it's not. That self-deception, Jesus said that that would be a sign of his coming. And the Bible said that even the elect could be, if it were possible, that even the elect would be deceived during this time. So self-deception is one of the primary warning signs from God in these last days. He's saying, do not deceive yourself. He who is righteous is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. So what I'm saying is, in order for us to rest in the shadow of the Most High, you must have a clean heart and pure hands before the Lord. And Psalms 32 is teaching this. And it teaches us not to be hard-headed and stubborn, and be stubborn with yourself. Don't be stubborn with yourself. It says here, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Promise. Verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." The harness and the bit are for the stubborn and prideful mules. The harness holds the head, right? And the bit puts pressure on the inside of the mouth, which creates pain. So in time, if you really jerk the bridle on a horse, it causes pain if you jerk it hard. I know what you're going to say, Hannah. I'm trying to use an illustration of causing pain to get our attention in God. Now, what I want you to hear is that stubbornness, self-deception are all things that will keep us from experiencing the peace of God. In times of trouble, you do not need a worried heart or a cloudy mind or a frustration working in your spirit. You need to be in a place like David talked about. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. What? Near to quiet waters, right? He leads me. And green pastures. So what I'm saying is in times of trouble, you do not want to, you probably won't need, or you probably will not get a communication from the Lord via foghorn. It'll be that impression, that sweet nudging in your spirit. Go this way. Go this way.
Amen.
Halt there. Wait upon the Lord. Psalms 32 is teaching about the importance of being humble. Being in a position, a place of blessing, a place of tranquility, so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. You've got to declutter your mind so that you can hear the still small voice of the Most High. Because in times of trouble, you're not going to be in a position to where you can go and hunt and look for direction. You want to be in step, real time, step with the Lord. Okay? Because in times of crisis, in those times, faith has to rise up in you. And faith creates a quiet confidence in the Lord. Now, some of you know that just a few days ago, I had a chemical crisis in my company. My heart dropped because the crisis had the potential of killing people. I almost fainted. I realized how weak I am. How spiritually weak I am when my heart plummeted to the floor. That was not a time for me to wallow in my sorrow. It was a time for me to lead. It was a time for me to lead my company so that I would not have this distress and could potentially stop a catastrophe. It showed me just how weak I was. Listen to what it said in verse 8. I will instruct you, teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Now, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, here's the promise, mercy. Mercy shall surround him. Mercy shall surround him. It says, be glad and rejoice. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And so, take heed to this warning. You're in the last days. There are going to come things such as somebody walking up to a restaurant and gunning down 50 people. That's not prophecy. That's historical fact as of yesterday, right? That just happened.
This morning.
2 a.m. So, can you see that all these years that we've been preaching about this, it's here. It's now. So take heed. As you study the Psalms and you see not every one was written by David, but you can see that David's name is all through the Psalms. He had this unique relationship with God. David was a murderer, right? He was an adulterer. He was sexually immoral. But David found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found mercy. He knew that God was merciful. You have to know in your heart that no matter what your sin might be, God is willing to forgive you and to restore you when you repent. Confession of sin without repentance is absolute folly. You cannot expect God to forgive you unless you repent. So repentance is absolutely essential for spiritual health. Now, Satan understands the word. He quoted it to Jesus. He understands that if he can get you to release your obedience, through active and intentional disobedience that you will break and hurt and harm your relationship with the Lord. That's what he's after. He wants us to shame God by willfully disobeying him and living in sin. That is what he's after. He has no power over the believer except temptation. He can tempt you into being disobedient. And when you are disobedient to the Lord, it breaks the relationship. So understand that Satan understands the word. He quoted it to Christ. And he can deceive you into deceiving yourself into choosing willfully to disobey God. That's where he wants you. Why? Because he knows that if he hurts your relationship with the Lord, that you'll isolate yourself. That you'll run away from the righteous. You'll run away from the light. You'll go and hide somewhere and pull the covers over your head as though you do not have an issue. It's a deception from the pit of hell. Know this, he who confesses his sin, Proverbs 28:13, finds mercy. In Psalms chapter 1, I've went through the Psalms, and I've just taken just a few passages of Scripture that I think will help us learning some disciplines that we can see are beneficial to our walk with God. Psalms chapter 1 is one of the most famous passages in all the Bible, and there's some beautiful counsel here. But the essence of the teaching in Psalms chapter 1 is this, is that you would delight yourself in Christ. That you would delight yourself in Christ and in his word. But delighting yourself in the word and thinking that the word itself is all that you need. It's not. You need the God of the word. You need the Christ of the Bible. You need the Savior that the word of God teaches about. So understand this, that the person of Christ is to whom we must lay our hopes in. Studying the word is good. Gaining knowledge is also beneficial. But it's him, the person of Christ, being intentional, expressing, I'd like to know you better. I want to know you. Surely you have a plan for me. Would you please help me to walk in it? Childlike communication leads you in the path of the Lord. This is what the Bible has to say. And it says that this kind of person is blessed. Calls him blessed. Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, catch it, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. It says, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Whatever he does shall prosper. Do you see? It's promise here, saints. Yeah. It's not promise without premise. It's promise. You have to understand participation with God in earnest, childlike manner is a premise in order to get help from heaven. It says here in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Notice that the man who immerses his life in the word, seeks and delights himself in the word, finds places of nourishment, finds surety of life. His roots go down. He is not moved. Why? Because his roots are in God. That they're shored up. See, a river with no banks creates destruction. There has to be boundary. There has to be boundaries. Now you think about a river. If there was no V-banks, the river would go everywhere and take out anything and everything with it. Yes, it happened here in 1913, right? But the river in banks, now picture the Word of God putting boundaries in your life. It allows the river to flow. It allows all things that are planted next to it to be nourished. And it carries along what's in it. So if you're in the river and you're going to be guided by the Lord and counseled by the Holy Spirit, you're within the boundaries of God. In Him there is liberty. Outside of Him there's destruction. So the river creates a place of safe haven for the believer. The river being the Holy Spirit, the river of God, right? And the banks, what are they? They're the laws of liberty. They're the laws of God. They're the counsel. They're the precepts. They're the principles of God which establish His governance. In other words, living on earth without the governance of God is haphazard.
Yep.
And in there's no safety. So it teaches us that if we live in this passage, if we immerse ourselves with the truth of God, that we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season. And it says, whose leaf also shall not wither. Why? Because it's drawing water, nourishment from the river itself. Know this, that the word of God, that He streams of living water will flow through you if you're in Christ. If you're abiding in Him, you shall not be a reservoir. You shall be a living stream that waters anything and everything in its path. See, it's not welled up in you to be stored in you. No, to the contrary, God wants you to water as He waters you, so that other things can receive life from the nourishment of God that He's given you. And so it says, therefore the ungodly, in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So the essence of Psalms 1, delight yourself in Christ and in His word. These are the principles, the sure time-tested principles that are in the word that will shore you up in times of tribulation and trouble. And you're in it right now. You are in the last days. Make no mistake about it. Your faith is likely is going to be tested in this season, in this generation, more than it's ever been in this nation. Know that. Write it down. And here's the second principle. In Psalms chapter 3, beginning in verses 1, I'm going to read through 6. The Lord is the shield of protection. Now you've heard me talk about Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 16. It says that for those of us who are in Christ, there's a promised struggle. But God teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 through 16 that we are taught that the armor of God is for us. And it teaches us that we have a shield. The name on the shield is faith. And that when you raise the shield of faith, it extinguishes what the Bible calls every fiery dart sent by the evil one. Now, know this. In Psalms 3, you're going to hear that God is your shield. That God is your shield. Let me tell you something. Satan is guaranteed, if you're in Christ, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So make no mistake about it, it's in the Word. Now the varying degrees and the experience thereof is all in the hands of the Sovereign Almighty. Only the Lord knows. But America has experienced at least the past 70 years in peace. Right? I'm in 2016. I got some math guys in here. Do the math. Reverse it. Okay? 2016 minus 70. So here in Psalms chapter 3, you can see the Scripture declares that the Lord is the shield of protection for His children. It says here in verse 1, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. Amen. There it is. See, let me show you an example. Anytime you see a promise that's to your benefit, that God is the source of, right there should trigger a praise.
Amen.
Out of the mouth. Poop. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. Your word says you're my shield. I got a shield of faith, but you are my shield.
Amen.
Shield of faith versus God being your shield. I'm choosing the latter. You need both. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. How many of you have ever had a really good night's rest? You wake up refreshed. Yeah, sometimes that happens. Doesn't happen to me every day. Sometimes it does. But when I've had some deep sleep sometime, a few times in my life, and I woke up and I thought, whoa, now there was a good one. It's because God gave it to me.
Amen.
The Bible says that God gives sleep to his servants. Amen? Another moment. Moment for praise. What am I installing here? It's not delayed praise. It's real-time praise. You get a good meal? Thank you, Father. Right? You get relief from some pain? Thank you, Father. What am I promoting? I'm promoting constant communication. Right back to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Right? Here it is in verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. What did he say? He's choosing by decision not to be afraid. In fact, he's not only choosing by decision to not be afraid, but he's declaring out of his mouth what he believes to be true.
Amen.
There's a principle here. The proclamation of truth from your mouth is a sword. The word of God is the sword. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you declare the word of God out of your mouth. It is the sword of the Lord. It has power. Declare the word, what you believe. Declare it to be true. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? What am I doing? I'm declaring truth. It comforts me. Right? Verse 6, 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who blesses me. Amen? That's an example in Psalms chapter 3 of God being our shield. In Psalms chapter 15, I'm going to encourage you to turn there with me. And as you know, we studied Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 12. And it talked about how character comes as a result of perseverance and tribulation. And it yields character. And so if you go to Psalms chapter 15, you can see it here in the Word. Psalms 15. The Psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Now we've talked about the absolute necessity in times of trouble of running to the Lord, not to men. Put your trust in men, experience failure. Put your trust in God. Experience victory time after time after time. The Lord scolded. Was it King Asaph? Is Asaph, did you? When he ran to the doctor instead of running to the Lord?
Asa?
Yeah. He scolded Asa for running to a doctor before running to the Lord. See, we have a great physician. And we can turn to him and ask for his help. Yes, he uses doctors. Yes, he uses medicine. Yes, he uses all kinds of other things. I thank God for Miami Valley Hospital. They've saved my life.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
They have. God used them to save my life. So I'm grateful for them. But I'm saying that there's a principle here. Go to the Lord first.
Amen.
He needs to be first. First call. First call. Amen? So here in Psalm 15... Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Let me stop right there. Let me encourage you to let your yes be yes and your no, no, even to your own hurt. If you tell somebody, you need to own that. You need to own it. Backing up midstream is a sure sign of instability. And so let your yes be yes and your no, no. There's stability in that. God honors that. It's directly taught here in verse 4. Verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things, catch it. He who does these things shall never be moved. What did we hear in Psalms 32? He shall be like a well-watered garden, right? Psalms 1. He shall be like a well-watered garden. The tree planted by the river is like a well-watered... It takes root, right? Trees by the river are hard to move. Here, if you walk in this path, in these principles, it teaches, it promises. There's a promise. Thank you, Lord. There's a promise that he says, he who does these things shall never be moved. There's a great assurance that comes through studying the scripture and praying for power from God to obey these disciplines. These things must be wrought in the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I'm saying that you just can't, you know, take this stuff off the shelf. Ringing yourself out before the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't keep my word. I need to keep my word. Your word says, if I keep my word, then I shall not be moved. Lord, help me to be a man or a woman who does what he says, who is a promise keeper. Okay? These are principles that can be, that you can gain through prayer. So if you have trouble telling the truth, admit that you're a liar before the Lord and ask God, make me a man or woman of truth. Lord, I don't have the strength to keep my word all the time. Lord, would you make me a man or a woman who has God's strength to keep it, to keep my word? What's the principle here? Be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer and ask God for the spiritual disciplines and the godly character that's needed to prevail in times of trouble. Who may dwell, it says. Who may abide in your tabernacle? And then it announces it. So not just anybody can abide in the tabernacle of the Lord. Only he who walks in these ways. You see the importance of it? These are not common things. These things he described right here. Not using your tongue to backbite. And I can tell you, my grandmother was a perfect example. Not one time ever in my life did I ever hear her say a sour word about people who were mean to her. Never. She would just smile. If grandma smiled at you, you probably done some dirt. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so there's great wisdom in holding our tongue. The wise man holds his tongue. Does not slander his neighbor. Does not backbite. That is the man or woman who can dwell in the tabernacle of the Most High. There's great wisdom in this. Why? Because of the promise. Premise, promise. Here it is, the promise. He who does these things shall never be moved. Psalms 15. Here it is in Psalms 16. And it's so important to understand that God is our inheritance. Not everybody on the earth, saints, has access to talk to the Most High God, the Creator.
Amen.
Speaking to the Creator of heaven and earth is something that should be treasured above all things.
Amen.
Prayer is not a common thing. Talking to your neighbor is a common thing. Talking to the Creator of heaven and earth and the universe is not a common thing. It should not be taken lightly. It should not be discounted. It should be the highest thing on earth, the most valuable thing on earth. is to speak to God Most High. Prayer is not a common thing.
Amen.
It is so discounted in the church. Oh, what's that person do? Oh, that's an intercessor. Glory to God. You have just told me that you have announced to me that that person is on their face talking to God. That's who you want to walk with.
Amen.
Because they are known in the secret most holy place. Now, is the ministry of helps any more valuable? No. Because we're all level before the Lord. But someone who's been called to intercede is valuable to the body of Christ. Because the prayers of the saints moves God. You will find help through intercession. And that's a whole other thing. Understanding that people praying for you is valuable. You got people praying for you, you should give thanks for them. You should give thanks for them. For much trouble has been warded off because of you, of that person interceding for you. It's important to understand and to give value to that. In Psalms chapter 16, it teaches us that God is our portion. That He Himself is our portion. And it says here in Psalm 16, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." Do you hear that? Catch that. As for the saints who are on the earth, guess what? That's the body of Christ. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight, he said. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood, and I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. Verse 5, I'm going to stop there. It says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. What's the point? All that it has been given to you, it's come to you as a portion from God. All that you have, your bread, your food, your clothes, your house, the place where you dwell, is your lot from the Lord. Your children are your lot from the Lord. And so God has blessed His children. We are recipients of the grace of God. Remember a couple weeks ago I was talking about the state of grace? The state of grace? You're in it. You're in it. You're in the state of grace. You stand in the righteousness of Christ. Your prayers are heard on high because of the blood of Jesus, giving you access to God Most High. As I said before, not everybody has the access to the Most High's temple. Getting access to God's most secret place is something that must be treasured and highly valued in the kingdom.
Amen.
These are timeless truths that we must rejoice over and participate in. And the areas that we're falling short in that we don't have, let me just humbly submit to you, if your character is not where it needs to be, you can pray and ask God to do surgery on your heart and on your mind. When He does it, everything else in your life will subsequently be changed. It's time to clean house internally. You do not want to be on the fence when trouble comes. You do not want to be on the fence in times of trouble. Satan wins. The fence belongs to him. There is no gray with God. You either all in, and God wants your very best. Make no mistake about it.